Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's story is the one job that self-made millionaires say helped them become successful, and what happened to the gig economy upending traditional jobs. Those stories after this. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico could help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. We'll start with this. There are billions of reasons to do this job. Many of today's self-made billionaires and multimillionaires held a sales job or sales jobs when they were younger. Here's Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. Katie, what are we learning?
So this researcher, Zeidelman, interviewed 45 very, very rich people. The minimum they were worth was about $11 million, and some of them were billionaires. And the number one job they had before they became, by the way, this is self-made billionaires and multimillionaires, was a sales job. So almost all of them in this study had some kind of sales job when they were younger. And it was interesting, by the way, it was everything from someone sold costume jewelry, another sold cosmetics. Somebody sold old egg cartons that were used as noise insulation. So these very, very, very rich people, almost all of them had sales jobs, a variety of different kinds of sales jobs. And the other thing that's really interesting about this is most of them said that that sales job was a significant factor in their financial success. So the talents they learned from learning sales early on played a big factor in how rich they are.
Did they connect the dots? Like why? Why a sales job?
I mean, I think because everything is sales, right? These people, probably many of them, started their own company. You often don't get to be a billionaire, self-made billionaire, without doing that. They had to sell different people on different ideas all the way through this. They didn't connect that. They just said, sales was important to my company or something, but the nitty-gritty wasn't really explained. But everyone I talked to thought, well, yes, because sales impacts everything. You start your own company, you're selling to everybody all the time. And especially with these people way high up, you know, maybe they had to get investors early on, stuff like that. But in all the cases, they said sales was a huge, huge reason that they feel financially successful right now.
I guess, too, you develop a thick skin, you know, maybe when you get told no, you don't take it personally. I mean, I've tried sales a couple of times, and as soon as I'm told no at 9:01 in the morning, like the rest of my day is shot. Like I can't recover after being told no once.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'm done.
You're completely right, and it is probably thick skin. Plus, you got to learn. Like at first, not everyone's just persuasive at first, and these people really had to learn. You know, different people persuading different kinds of people. I mean, I think there's a lot of value in it. I was writing this story thinking, oh, well, that explains why I'm not a multimillionaire right there.
That was why you're $10,999,000 short of being asked to participate in the survey of people worth $11 million and more.
100%.
Yes. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. She's written an interesting piece entitled, "The Number One Job Billionaires and Multimillionaires Had Before They Became Filthy Rich." And turns out most of them had sales jobs. What else did we learn from this? Is it too late to go get a sales job and try to learn a new skill?
I asked every career expert I could because I thought, I mean, this is fascinating. I don't know a ton of people with a lot of sales experience, but you know, this is something to think about. They all said, no, it's not too late. I mean, maybe you're not going to go, you know, work at a Starbucks or something, but even if you volunteer for an organization, like raising funds for your, you know, favorite charity or something, and you do that on the side, that's all really good experience.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. And finally, two leading experts on the gig economy now say their estimates of its impact were too high, skewed by spotty data and the recession of a decade ago. Alan Krueger of Princeton University and Lawrence Katz of Harvard sifted through new evidence to explain how, in a 2015 survey, They overestimated how people cobbling together a living from odd jobs, especially through apps like Uber, would upend traditional work arrangements. More from Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Zumbrun. Josh, what happened?
In the middle of the decade, 2014, 2015, 2016, there was this kind of obsession with the way the U.S. labor market was changing. And the term that everybody used to describe this was the gig economy. It was the fear that everyone was eventually going to kind of drift away from having a traditional employer and a steady paycheck, and instead was going to cobble together a living from working odd jobs, working Uber in the morning and doing TaskRabbit projects and, driving for food delivery services and buying groceries. That, there was a fear that a huge share of the U.S. labor market was going to be kind of pulled into these activities. And in fact, there were a number of studies that suggested a huge share of the labor market already was in these types of arrangements. I think one study came out suggesting that as many as 30 or 40% of U.S. workers, essentially already were cobbling together work from a wide range of gigs. And what's become apparent over the past couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years, is that this story was really overblown. And in fact, the U.S. labor market hadn't changed nearly as much as people feared.
So where did the studies miss?
There's two things. One is that the economy was really quite weak in the labor market was really quite weak in the early part of this decade. And so a large number of the people who were doing gigs were actually doing it just because the economy was temporarily weak. They weren't doing it because the nature of people with work, was fundamentally changing. It's just that when the economy is bad, when people lose their jobs, or when they're not seeing the income growth that they want and need, they're more likely to turn to alternative stuff. And then as the economy gradually improves, they turn away from it. So, one reason that this looked so overblown is because people didn't realize the extent to which it was a cyclical phenomenon, that when the economy is really bad, it's natural that people turn to gigs. It's not a fundamental change in the U.S. Labor force. It's going to continue after the economy kind of heals. And, now you look at the labor market, and it's much healthier. And when you look at kind of the measures of the gig economy, it looks like they're much smaller as a result.
Okay. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Zumbrun. His piece is called How Estimates of the Gig Economy Went Wrong. So the gig economy stuff, I'll summarize in layman's terms. You turn to the gig economy when you're looking for a few extra bucks, when you're in retirement and looking for something else to do, things along those lines, when you're desperate for a few bucks.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, a lot of the people that turned to the gig economy, they just kind of did it as a temporary stopgap. They'd hit a little bit of hard times, and so they tried something out to make ends meet until they could get that traditional job. And then what we've seen is, over the last 2, 3 years especially, people are getting those traditional jobs. It's not the case that employers don't want to have employees anymore. That was the fear that people had, that every employer was going to want to just use some app to temporarily stock up its workforce. That wasn't the case. It just looked that way a little bit because of how weak the economy was.
Thanks, Josh. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Zumbrun. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with GordonDeal.com. That's also where you can catch our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.